Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, more airlines are promising an open middle seat. So that's because they can't sell it. You can go to Hawaii, but it's complicated. Yosemite is open. Disneyland wants to be. Updates next in the news.
So now I can go to Hawaii if I'm tested, but what if I catch COVID when I go to the grocery store after I've been tested? You know, before I leave the islands, can I still go? Can I buy some bubble wrap to be safe? You know, I'm somewhat confused here, Mark.
Do we need to talk about this, Mr. Romano?
Yeah, I think so. Otherwise, I'm liable to show up at the airport on the wrong Tuesday wearing blue shoes and they won't let me on the plane.
Well, it's not quite that bad. I tell you what, in our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, we'll talk all about it.
Oh, okay. And I can wear my blue shoes on the plane and my PJs?
This is really going downhill.
Hey, come on, man. Not for me. I'm getting ready to go to Hawaii or, you know what, or maybe Berkeley. Realizing many of you are looking for places to visit closer to home, we take the Capital Corridor train to Berkeley and make it a day. That's coming up at 3:35.
Finally, at 3:50, since we're on the subject of traveling close to home, what do we call it? Staycationing? Day tripping-ing? Wandering away from home, maybe?
Well, we're here to help you dream and maybe even smile a little bit on a Sunday afternoon. Thanks for joining us. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Look to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
Friends, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, back again here on a Sunday to make you a smarter traveler and entertain along the way. Brought to you, by the way, by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, good to see you. Hope everything is going well. What's up at Sports Leisure that we need to know?
Well, there actually are things up. I mean, I'm going on the... Can you believe this? I'm taking people on the road on Tuesday morning.
Wow, where are you going?
We are getting on a motor coach, and driving Highway 80. Elko is our first destination, and then we drop down to Ely, Nevada. These are big places that, you know.
Sounds like the Lincoln Highway to me.
There you go. Yes, the Highway 50 back through Nevada. First was a Pony Express route many, many, many moons ago. And then it was U.S. 50, which, of course, ended here in Sacramento. And, in between that Pony Express and the U.S. 50, it was the route of the Lincoln Highway, which was the first transcontinental road across the country. It actually was a patchwork of a lot of roads. But the part across Nevada wasn't as much patchwork as many other places because, let's face it, there's not a whole lot of people in central Nevada there. But some really interesting towns and places. Ely has this old drugstore in a little town called McGill, which is right next door. The guy locked the door to the drugstore, I think it was 1962 or 63, and walked away. And the drugstore today remains exactly the way it was the day he left it.
Wow.
Everything is still on the shelf. The prices are the same.
So you do a little walking tour into the store?
You go into the drugstore. Yeah, normally they serve you ice cream there. They're not doing that during the COVID days, so, oh, darn, we have to go down to the ice cream parlor for that. But that's kind of cool. There's an old ghost town called Cherry Creek that's outside of Ely that we're going to visit. There's a bordello in town. I've talked about that before. We always go and visit the bordello in Ely before it opens.
Right. What time does a bordello open these days in Nevada?
Usually about 4 o'clock.
You know, okay.
Four so you go about 3:30, and then one of the ladies will take you around and show you the different rooms and explain the pricing. Listen, and I got to just tell you something. Keep in mind that when you're taking one of these escorted tours, generally there's a lot more women than men.
Right.
So there'll be 70 of my 20 people, 15 of them will be ladies. I just want to tell you something. Ladies have a natural curiosity of the inside of a bordello.
Interesting.
Because otherwise, you know, they would never be in there except for the fact that you have escorted them in there.
And right.
We're gonna look at the stars. Ely is one of the darkest places in the country.
Wow.
You get outside the city, it's a small town, and you're out there. There's not another big city for hundreds of miles in any direction. So it's a great place to look at the stars. And then we start back home on the old Lincoln Highway / Pony Express route. The town of Eureka is, now this is Eureka, Nevada, not California, is a cool spot. There are Pony Express stations. Austin is a wonderful old little nothing town out in the middle, literally, of nowhere. It's, you know, I probably sound a little bit excited about
you
it.
You do.
But I haven't been anywhere for a while, and I love these old highways. I just, you know, it's like, look over there. There's a row of telephone poles. That must have been where the original road went. You know, I mean, it's just so, and they're small towns and they're nice people. And so perfect places to go during something like this. We'll be extra safe. You know, we got our masks and our hand washing stuff.
Well, awesome. I'll be anxious to have a little follow-up when you guys get back. Have a great time. Be safe. We are the Travel Guys, and at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And with the travel news, here's Mark.
And let's see here. Let's look. We've been talking about the airlines are getting just a little bit desperate. I thought in July and August that this was money in the bank for the airlines. Come the end of September, they wouldn't be laying anybody off. Congress would step up and kick in. They were looking for $25 billion, that's with a B, in aid in order to be able to keep everybody around and keep their systems intact. Congress hasn't shown a great propensity to give them that money. The Democratic side of the House of Representatives now say they're considering or that they're adding airline aid to their stimulus proposal for next week. Whether anything happens with this or not is anybody's guess. I wouldn't even weigh in on either side, except to say that it's hard to see Congress letting the airlines go into disarray 5 weeks before an election. I can't see either side letting that happen. So look maybe for something to happen sometime this week. The airlines are desperate. Traffic is way off. We got up to around 40% of year-over-year comparisons around over the Labor Day weekend. We've now fallen back off to 25-30% of last year's travel, which is what we had before the summer started. That appears to be what it's going to be until the holidays. So the airlines now, instead of being optimistic about, well, you know, this is on the rebound, and as someone said recently, we've got this under control and we're coming into the home stretch, not so much. The airlines don't show that. The number of people traveling don't show that. So the airlines are kind of buckling down here and trying to get through the winter, and whether or not they get any financial help is anybody's guess.
Yeah, you know, they can only do so much on their own. You know, everybody's trying to offer up specials. Past week, Southwest doing a kind of a little a free companion pass deal, which, by the way, it was supposed to end on Thursday. They extended it through today, too. So,
well, and that was I didn't know about that until you sent me the notice, Tom. Basically, if you flew a flight, they would give you a companion pass for, what, the first 2 months of next year?
You could use it for free with someone in January and February. So it was a clever idea, you know. Hopefully that worked out for them a little bit.
If you knew that you were going to take another trip in January and February and you were going to take somebody with you, then it made perfect sense to do that. And these are the kinds of things that the airlines are trying to create a little traffic, but, of course, if they fill the plane and they give the seats away, and then you've got this little thing with the middle seat all going on. Delta has said all the way until after the first of the year. Southwest is now up to the end of November. Alaska and Americans will expire in October unless they push them forward. Of course, if they can see that they're not going to sell more than 2/3 of the seats on the plane, it makes perfect sense to tell people that we'll block them. I mean, they're not doing this out of the kindness of their heart, trust me. They're doing it because they're not going to sell those tickets anyway.
Yeah, good point.
So I don't know what happens, but if you're concerned about the airlines, fine. If not, airlines are not going to go away. I mean, there's not going to be, you know, no flights all of a sudden. So My personal feeling is, I just want to see what happens. If they don't give them the money, a lot of people are going to lose their jobs, and that's not going to be a good thing.
No.
But at some point in time, how much money do you give businesses that get incredible delight out of screwing the bejesus out of people every time they get the opportunity? I mean, they just stick it to Travelers Airlines, stick it to us all the time. I remember not having to pay for seat assignments and things like so. You know, I mean, they're not the traveler's friend. So now they come back and they say, well, you know, be kind to us. We need money. And it's kind of, you kind of feel like, you know what? Here's a digital extension. And it's just to give you, it's not the first or second finger, nor is it the fourth or fifth finger.
Okay, what else you got in the travel news?
That's just one man's opinion. Disneyland says to the governor of California, we would like to open the park. The parks in Florida are open, and they say that they've taken steps and measures, and they'd like to open the park. The interesting thing, though, is, Tom, in Florida, they're still consistently not meeting the 25-30% capacity that they're allowing into the park. During the week, they're consistently not hitting that number, so it's a little bit confusing why they're pressing so hard to get the parks open in California, because at 25% of capacity, they can't possibly be making money.
No, but they're trying to satisfy a need, a desire to get back, and you know, just baby steps, baby steps.
Yeah, well, I understand that. I've got a travel company myself. I get the whole baby step thing.
You've got that.
Yosemite
right.
Reopened Friday. As air quality has improved considerably during the week, hasn't improved as much as here in Sacramento. They've got fires on their boundaries up there, and they warned folks when they said they were opening the park and opening some of the things for people to do and some of the trails and stuff like that. They warned folks that these fires were in the vicinity and that, you know, you might have to take off on very short notice. So it sounds, if you are headed up Yosemite Way, especially if you're going camping, make sure you heed the warnings, do your homework, and know what's going on. Amtrak is providing a real-time look at seat availability. This is kind of cool. They've made some updates to their website and their mobile app. Amtrak is kind of notorious for being a few steps behind everybody. But now customers can easily see which trains have the fewest number of seats booked. So if you're looking to try to travel on a train that's not too crowded, in real time, you can see more now about the trains. Capacity indicators, they've created a lot more contact-free travel, gate boarding, and they're doing some things at departure gates, kind of like the airlines, to keep people from all massing up. So Amtrak is responding to the COVID situation. Also, and folks have probably heard this already, but in case you didn't, the border restrictions between the United States and Canada and the United States and Mexico have been extended for another month. Canada actually, Tom, had a day a week before last where they reported no COVID deaths in the country. We are hovering around 1,000 a day. So it's fairly easy to see why they're not all that interested in us coming to see them. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Follow along at TravelGuysRadio.com. Coming up, our Smarter Traveler segment. That's about 3 minutes away, right here on the Travel Guys. We're back. It's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Again, follow along at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark, let's spend some time talking about flying and, you know, making people smarter travelers in regards to what we can see, what we can wrap our hands around moving forward here with flying and flying safety.
Well, Hawaii is the focus to start with because, and I'm sure this is going to spread probably very quickly to other destinations, but they've had so much trouble getting organized over there, and God, the number of times they've said they had something together. But at this time, it looks like they really do. If you want to go to Hawaii, you have to have had a negative COVID test within 72 hours of your departure, is the way it's being interpreted right now. Because, of course, 72 hours of your departure and 72 hours of your arrival with a 5, 6, 7, 8 hour flight to Hawaii could mean two entirely different things. But for right now, it's 72 hours before your departure. You have to have had the test, have the negative result. that gets you in with no problem onto whatever island that you're headed for.
Now,
if you go ahead.
I was going to say, backing up a little bit, what's the process? Who's doing the testing for them?
They've made a deal with CBS. They say, of course, the governor said that from Hawaii once before. They're working on Costco. These, though, are places in the islands, and also the Honolulu Airport is going to have a drive-through. So you let's say you're a Hawaiian resident, or you fly to Honolulu and now you want to go to Maui for a week. Well, you have to have a negative COVID test to get to that next island. You can't just go to one island, Honolulu, and then say, oh, in 4 days I'm going to Kauai, and in 4 days after that I'm going to Maui, and I'm going to the very standard thing for people to go and visit several islands. You can't do that because you'll have to have that negative test. You'll have to get a test on the island you're on in order to be able to change islands for now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're planning a Hawaiian vacation, you want to get in there. I'm going to make a suggestion here to try to make you a smarter traveler, and that is wait until after October the 15th to see if this actually starts when it's supposed to, and then see how well it goes. Let's wait a couple weeks and get some reviews from people who go there and come back and say, hey, you know, yeah, it went fine. I got tested beforehand. No, piece of cake. Or I got tested when I got there. It took 15 minutes like they said it would. Yeah, it set me back a few bucks in the airport before I took off. Everything was fine. So I got over to the islands. I needed to change islands. I went and got a test, $22, and off I went. That's the kind of news that we want to hear before you start getting over there and we find out that the system is not very organized. And now you can't get around, or you're stuck with a 14-day quarantine because they had their head up their rear end. So it's way, way more important to try and get a look at it, I think, before you jump in the water.
I have a daughter scheduled to go in November. She's staying at the Alani, her dream vacation. She's being a Disney girl, you know. And they've announced that they are opening in November. And, of course, there'll be limited stuff. And then that time will come and will the testing and so forth go on. We will follow her and see how this develops and share it with the listeners that may be thinking about going. Okay.
Awesome.
All right.
That's Tom. That's a terrific idea.
Thank you.
Because,
once in a while.
And she's just going to stay on that one island on Oahu.
Yes.
And do the and be the Disney tourist. So that's great, because a lot of folks are doing those kinds of things. Also, there are a variety of different COVID tests. I'm not a doctor, so I don't want to get too technical here. The gold standard is called the PCR test. So if you're looking for the best one, the PCR test is the one that you want. Doesn't mean it's the only one that you can get, but that is one of the good ones. There is a lot of information out there. We've got a couple of links at travelguysradio.com to some of the COVID discussion. But basically with Hawaii, if you get the test and you get it within 3 days of departure and you come clean, you can go over there. Just remember that to get from one island to another is going to be you're going to have to go through that same procedure. So consider that before you go. I don't want you to get over there and find out that, well, oh my God, I went to the airport to go to the big island and they wouldn't let me go. Sent you home instead, or wouldn't let you go home. And, you know, I mean, it's the same thing we've been saying since this started. If you're going to travel, do your homework. TSA is talking about something new here. I don't know if I'm in favor of this or against it. They're thinking about installing temperature check technology at airports nationwide, suggesting it. So when you walk in the door of the airport at Sacramento International, the doors would open and you would walk through and a scanner would hit your forehead and bingo, they would know if you were good to go. And if you weren't, hypothetically, something would happen and they would identify you before you got lost in the crowd. And this would happen at airports everywhere. The only thing that I would say is, well, gosh, that means somebody who has a temperature slightly above normal, who might not even be sick, can't come in the airport to see someone off or to meet someone in the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know if that works completely and entirely for me, but the point is they're looking at ways, not necessarily to take away people's personal rights, but ways that will protect the public at large without taking away people's rights individually. So temperature checks, perhaps. I think this whole idea of getting tested at the airport, at the gate, I think the cost of these tests is going to come down, Tom, and I think that's what's going to make this all fairly viable. An airline is not going to be able to afford to pay $100 to a vendor for an instant test, but a cruise line or a tour operator where you were buying a package that cost a couple $1,000s where they were making $300 or $400 or $500 might be willing to either eat that or mm-hmm. to put it into the cost of the package.
Right.
You have any thoughts there?
Yeah, well, you know, my first thought is that as time goes on, the cost of these tests will continue to go down. And I believe that those that are providing travel, whether it be the airline or a cruise ship or sports leisure vacations, it'll be so reasonable for you to get the tests and share them that it'll be complimentary.
Well, and remember, just because we get a vaccine doesn't mean that the virus goes away. I mean, this may be something that we have to live with on some level for a while. And obviously, the mortality rates are dropping because doctors are figuring out more ways to help and treat people and stuff. So that's what's happening with travel, is we're figuring out more ways to figure this out. And I suspect in the next 60 to 90 days, we're probably going to hit on some pretty good solutions here, and the rapid testing is going to be more widespread. So after the break for the news, we're going to come back and take people on a trip to Berkeley, California.
Yeah, you bet. We're going to talk about some sweet, sweet places in Berkeley that going to make your mouth water. It's all coming up right here on the Travel Guys.
All the leaves are brown.
Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We are the Travel Guys, here to make you a smarter traveler and try to bring some normality to your life in this time of a lot of not normal stuff. And, you know, there are a lot of ways to get away that don't require that you get on an airplane or that you have to be exposed to a lot of people. Fortunately, here in California, we've got the Capital Corridor trains, and they can take us to all sorts of magical places. And, Mark, you've lined up a gentleman that we're going to talk to now about one of those kind of adventures. Tell us more.
Yeah, we've talked about visiting Berkeley on our program before, but this is kind of a unique idea, I think. The idea of taking the Capital Corridor train to Berkeley and exploring around town and then taking the train back home. And gosh, I guess all you'd pay for would be your parking. Dan Marengo is joining us from Visit Berkeley. Hi, Dan.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, 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 good. So, Dan, folks are staying closer to home. They're looking for things that are fun to do rather than just get into an automobile and drive from point A to point B. Fortunately, Berkeley has this lovely train station right on the Capital Corridor train line. We're back up to 8 or 9 trips a day now. Sports Leisure Vacations, in fact, I believe, is going to put together a trip similar to this. So for folks who are looking for something new and different, what do you say we take them on the train down to Berkeley and get off late morning? And then where would they go? What would they do?
You know, I think that's a great idea. Part of the journey on the way down to Berkeley, you're riding right along the bayfront. It's very scenic, very relaxing. I've done it myself. It's a great way to travel between the Central Valley, Sacramento, and Berkeley. So Berkeley is really for the just passerby on the freeway. You might not realize this, but it's more than just a university. It's a collection of neighborhoods and districts. And one of the districts is 4th Street, West Berkeley. And that's where the train station is located here. And you get out there and you are right there at 4th Street.
And okay, when you get off the train there in Berkeley, what is there to do? What is there to see?
You know, it just depends on the district and what you're interested in. We have, you know, we have the Berkeley Wine Block in West Berkeley, which is a collection of urban wineries. We've got 4th Street. The 4th Street District is really our most upscale retail area with a lot of small independent shops and a few national chains as well. That's walking distance from the train station.
And there are some pretty good restaurants down there, too, if I'm remembering correctly.
There are some fantastic restaurants in 4th Street as well as across the city. But, yeah, there's probably, you know, I've probably been to four or five right on 4th Street that I would highly recommend.
I have to ask, you know, here in Sacramento, the restaurants, in fact, all over, have continued to expand their outdoor dining. Have the same thing occurred there in Berkeley? Have the restaurants moved out onto the streets and onto the sidewalks?
Yeah, absolutely, out of necessity, right? These restaurateurs are trying to make ends meet here, and when you can't have people dining inside, you've got to get creative. Some of the, what we've calling them parklets here, the outdoor dining areas that have kind of edged into the sidewalk area and maybe sometimes even a little bit into the street, have really been done up quite nicely. They're looking to me like they're going to be permanent structures, even beyond this current health crisis.
So you really could take the train to Berkeley. There are shops that are open within walking distance of the train depot. There are restaurants nearby. You've got a farmer's market in Berkeley 3 days a week. Is that Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday? Is that anywhere near the train station?
Those are a little bit afield from the train station. Not far. Berkeley's pretty compact, but maybe a little bit long to walk to. But there's one in downtown Berkeley. There's one up in the foodie district, which we call North Shattuck. And there's another one in South Berkeley. So yeah, we've got you covered with all the ranches and farmers coming in and bringing their freshest produce into town.
The university also has a botanical garden that is somewhat renowned. Tell us a little bit about that.
Fantastic facility, yeah. So it's way up in the Berkeley Hills, tucked into Strawberry Canyon. And it is a collection of the most plants you will find anywhere from across the world in one place. So it's divided up into continents, and it's just got some really fascinating, you know, a Japanese garden. There's a beautiful redwood grove up there. It's really a great place to just to stretch your legs and walk around. And then, of course, the bonus is you're looking out over San Francisco Bay from there. So there are great views from there, too.
If I'm remembering correctly, Berkeley is also known for having some really awesome bakeries. You live down there, Dan, so if you were visiting town and you know what you know, which bakery, donut store, et cetera, would you put on the top of your list?
Oh, gosh, now you're getting into my weak area here. My weakness for baked goods is pretty renowned. I would say there's a few. I mean, I'm going to have to kind of curate this list for you right now, but they're tried and true, right? The donut shop, Dream Fluff. Donuts on Ashby Avenue near college is just epic in terms of what they offer. And if you're an apple fritter guy, don't go any farther than there. It's perfect.
Ah, see, that's what I was going to ask. What if I go into Donut Dream Fluff? I love that. What a great isn't that a great name, Tom? For a donut
it
store?
Is absolutely says it all.
Yeah, and so I go in there. So apple fritters, huh?
Yeah, I mean their French donuts are great too. They've got the full case, but it's. Yeah, it's a danger zone for me, for sure. now, for something a little less traditional and more kind of cutting-edge, avant-garde in terms of baked items, Third Culture Bakery in West Berkeley is really getting a lot of renown quickly for their mochi muffins and donuts. So made from mochi flour, rice-based flour, and just like a little, maybe, you know, slightly on the healthier scale, all kinds of like organic, you know, frostings and ingredients, really delicious. And they're over in West Berkeley.
Healthy donuts sounds like a contradiction of terms there just by a little bit. All right. So we're taking the train to Berkeley. We've got shopping. We've got places to eat that are close by. We can grab an Uber and go up to the Botanical Garden. If somebody is just coming into town and they wanted to see a little bit of the university, is that something that's possible right now? Could somebody do a driving tour of the campus? How would that work?
Yeah, the campus is still open. It's a little quieter than it would be normally in the fall, of course, because there are no students in session on campus. But you can still just walk through the campus. It's it's basically our Central Park. It's just a lovely, you know, the architecture, the gardens throughout are so well established and just really a landmark for the city. And yeah, it's open. You can walk all the way through it. We actually have a little guide on our website, visitberkeley.com, that's called Cal Secret Spots, that will maybe kind of lead you to places that you might not have found on your own. So it's wide open. Now, you did mention driving. The campus is closed to vehicle traffic, but that doesn't stop you from walking around.
So your own walking tour. Besides visitberkeley.com, we'll have a link to these websites at travelguysradio.com. And what was the other one that you had there?
Oh, it's just a page within visitberkeley.com, and it's called Cal Secret Spots. It's on our, in our Explore section on the website.
So we'll put a link to Visit Berkeley, and you can plan your own trip to go down and see the gardens, visit the campus, do a little shopping. Christmas is coming up. Nice way to get away. And the Capitol Corridor runs down there 8-9 times a day. Of course, you could always drive yourself. Is Spanger's restaurant still open down there, Dan?
Spanger's closed a few years back, unfortunately. It was, yeah, definitely a legacy landmark restaurant in Berkeley.
All right, Dan, before we let you go, anything else that folks should know if they're headed down to Berkeley to do a little pre-Christmas shopping and looking around?
I mean, all I can say is this is the time right now where we're in where a staycation is a good idea. So stay inside of California, travel. It's almost like a matter of civic pride and duty now to stay and keep your travel within the state. And Berkeley is a great place to do it.
Outstanding. I like that. Staycation.
Yeah, we have staycations, and now we have statecations. That's good, Dan. That's the first time that I've heard that one. We're digging deep here. We're running out of combinations, but I like that a lot. Good job. Dan Marengo from visitberkeley.com. Thank you, sir, for your time and your suggestions and ideas today. And next time something really awesome is happening in Berkeley or right next door, you make sure you give us a call.
Thanks. I certainly will. My pleasure to be with you guys today.
So just one example there of the destinations that you can visit with that Capital Corridor train. There are all kinds of other destinations along the way. The other thing somebody said to me the other day is get on the train, go to your favorite place, get yourself an Uber, go have lunch at your favorite restaurant, come back to the train, turn around and come home. What a great day that would be.
More staycations, day trips, places to wander not too far from home. Next, right here on The Travel Guys. Well, what do you know? It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We're still here. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. And again, TravelGuysRadio.com. Lots of good stuff there that we don't talk about on the radio that I know you're going to enjoy. I love that, Mark. When we were talking to Dan, he was he came up with that word, statecation.
Yes. I've heard a lot of those, you know, staycation and drivecation and nearcation and all of that kind of stuff. But statecation, I hadn't heard that one before.
Yeah, let's talk about what are we going to talk about? Day tripping?
Well, we do. I have one thing first. Can I go to something else first here? Will it break the mood?
Yeah, sure.
Remember we had our author from Singapore that we had to connect with, and it was early evening for us. It was early morning for him, and it was a little bit of a challenge, but we made it. Shivaja Das was his name. He wrote the book The Other Shangri-La, and it was a very interesting interview, I thought, with his wife. So I got a note from him in my mailbox last week, and he said, by golly, if several of your listeners, at least three, wrote this gentleman and asked about his book, and one asked about some of the places that he had traveled to. I guess they shared some common interests in travel locations in Tibet and stuff like that, and this gentleman wanted to talk with him more about it. Apparently, they'd set up a phone date, and they were going to talk on the telephone. And so anyways, it's kind of cool. Sometimes when you get things like that from halfway around the world, you have no idea whether it will be of interest to anyone.
Absolutely.
And so we have to kind of play God and figure out which ones we think people will like.
That was, you know, the magic of radio. That's special. I'm sure he was ecstatic. And so are we in regards to our our Travel Guys listeners to find the interest and to reach out to our guests. That's super.
Yeah, now I want to get something from the man what runs the ferry boat over there in South England that was going out to see the cruise ships and stuff like that. I want to.
Right.
We agreed that if we could get somebody from the Travel Guys to go to Southern England and walk on, you know, get on his sightseeing trip out to the big cruise ships and say that they'd heard it from on the Travel Guys, that would be pretty amazing. So I'm still waiting for that call back. It hadn't happened yet. hey, listen, here was a little thing. Top coffee cities. National Coffee Day is coming up. You know, everybody has day.
Yeah.
What do you think the number one coffee city in the country is? This is really easy.
Actually. Yeah. It's got to be Seattle. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah, you know. There you go. Home of Starbucks.
Right. Yeah.
So that would be the logical guess. If you were going to pick number two, what would be your second choice?
Well, my second choice besides Seattle. How about Portland?
See, Portland is number three.
Number three.
San Francisco.
Okay.
Got in between them. But that makes sense. The weather's cooler, more coffee, you know, as opposed to a cold beverage. So the top city is Seattle, San Francisco, Portland, Miami, Tampa, kind of the Latin influence there with the espresso and stuff. Pittsburgh, Honolulu, Denver, Oakland, Atlanta, Georgia. Fremont, California has the highest annual spending on coffee per household, $236.
Wow.
Which is 3.7 times higher than what they spend in Detroit, which is the lowest per capita.
Wow. How about that?
All insignificant things that you never knew you would be hearing on the radio right here on the Travel Guys.
Well, I got to ask, are you a coffee kind of guy?
No, I'm not. I don't drink coffee. Caffeine and I are not friends.
Okay, well, there's a lot of folks like that, you know. I mean,
yeah. So
you're just naturally strung out anyway, right? It's your natural state, yeah. Mr. High
but
energy.
But I found that I could go to Starbucks and get a Frappuccino,
right?
And for $5 and 500 calories, I could be just like the cool people.
There you go.
So, anyways, we were going to talk here about this new thing that has swept the country, which is the stay close to home vacation. And for some people, it means getting in the car and driving to the state park that you always wanted to go to, making sure that you go early in the day so you can get a parking place that's only 50 miles from home, maybe taking a little hike or something like that. To some folks, it means, remember the Beverly Hills people telling us that a full 25% of their business right now is coming from people who live within 50 miles of Beverly Hills.
There you go.
So people who have just said, you know, this is a safe way to splurge.
Well, Sacramento has a lot of little close bys. We've talked Apple Hill recently,
absolutely.
At certain times.
Anywhere in the Sierra foothills.
Absolutely. There's a fish hatchery right up here in Natomas, and people like to go up and watch the salmon jump up the ladder.
And there are little country inns, and God knows, again, do your homework, because like the National Hotel in Jackson has been closed for a while, the Murphy's Hotel in the little town of Murphy's, there are, Sonora has a nice Best Western, so, I mean, there are places to stay in some of these little towns, but yeah, you could make a day out of just going out to some of the Sierra foothills cities, but so they're giving all kinds of different names to these staycations and statecations.
Do you have a list?
Do I have a list?
Yeah, I mean, it used to be big on lists, so I figured the top 10 weird names for vacations. Not this time. Okay, move on. I'm sorry.
Nearcations is one that I hadn't heard until Travelers United did an article last week. Is the nearby vacation trending during the pandemic? And their answer was that actually this started a couple of years ago. It's exploded during the pandemic, but actually the trend of people taking vacations in special places closer to home has started in the last couple of years. And it started with younger people who are taking more vacations, and they're taking them shorter. So they're taking taking a long weekend or taking a few days off during the week and going somewhere and doing that a couple of times instead of taking a week off to go someplace. Perhaps it's because of job pressures or who knows what else. But the theory here is that this whole staycationing, or here's another one, homecation,
right,
is not necessarily a new thing. It has been most popular in the last couple of years as it started to take hold around holiday periods, that people would meet with their families in order to not meet in someone's home. Now, I don't know about your family, Tom, but when my family used to meet for holiday situations, the sheriff would park on the end of the street because that way he could get there faster. And a lot of families are this way. And with the political climate the way it is, my goodness, who knows what could be happening. So what these folks decided was that instead of having it in their home and having too many cooks in the kitchen and stuff like that, they all went and checked into a hotel, mm-hmm. and then they had a nice holiday meal together. And that took the pressure off of anybody to cook or clean or anything like that.
Got it. Interesting. You know,
you've been pretty conservative through of all of this mm-hmm. COVID thing.
Which isn't my nature as a rule.
No, it really isn't. And so it's when you were kind of like, you know, my wife and I are going to lock down and stay home and, you know, be extra careful. And I confess I was a little bit surprised by that. But I understand it completely because I have a lot of clients and, you know, I'm not a teenager myself anymore here. When this breaks, Tom, when somebody says, hey, you know, and you figure it's good to poke your head up out of the hole and come outside and look around, where do you see yourself going to start with?
Well, besides, you know, little short day trips and staycation type of things, mm-hmm. is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, you know, number one, the opportunity to visit family that isn't in California. And here again, I will want to be tested before I leave. Want to be tested when I get there. Instead of planning a 5-day trip, because of all of the lag time with the testing and so forth, we'll make it 10 days because a lot of it's going to be eaten up with just hanging out, not being able to go until you get results. Anxious mm-hmm. for the short test, tests that you can get in 15 minutes and so forth, and go for there. You know, I don't believe that. I think all of us are kind of worn down about in regards to staying at home. You keep thinking to yourself, well, I can do this for another year if I have to. But I have to say, and I know a lot of people that are in a similar situation in that I think we've all kind of had enough. And if you find that if you stay socially distanced, wear your mask, don't go places that are clearly not safe, stay out of bars, it should be okay. And so traveling and, you know, to visit family somewhere nearby is top of the list, right after Hawaii.
See, so you've got a favorite place that's out in the middle of the ocean. And
I
once you're convinced that it's safe to go there, you're going to go.
Yeah, well, we used to have family members over there. My wife's dad lived on the Big Island for several years, and we used to go over every couple of years and stay with them. And we had, it was perfect because they had a place for us to stay and a car to borrow to drive around to the Hilo side. It was wonderful, and I miss it. I know when I go back, it's not going to be the island I remember. So, but I'm still pretty anxious to maybe get out there.
Well, we'll keep on this line of staying close to home. We'll keep bringing you whenever we see it. A destination pops up and can give us some good places, some reasons to go there. Why we will bring it to you next week on the Travel Guys. We're going to dig into the mailbag. Haven't done that for a long time. I've got a ton of questions, and you all ask the best questions. If you want to send a question, try to get it answered on the air. TravelGuysRadio.com. There's a form to fill out there. Tom, I think this just about brings us to the close of another week here with the Travel Guys. Remember to dance like nobody's watching.
Thanks, Mark. You stay well. Enjoy your trip on the Lincoln Highway next week. We'll be anxious to hear about it when you get back. All right, folks, stay well. We'll see you next time here on the Travel Guys.
The traveler is always